Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hi there, it's Julia Louis-Dreyfus. You may know me from my podcast called Wiser Than Me, where I talk to older women and get their wisdom from the front lines of life. I was amazed by how many people told me our show made them look forward to getting older, which is why I'm here to talk about season two of the show. Sally Field, Billie Jean King, Beverly Johnson, Ina Garten, Bonnie Raitt, just to name a few. All hail old women. Wiser Than Me season two is out now from Lemonada Media.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Doug hates candy wrappers, screaming baby sticky seeds with 50 acid popcorn kernels in his teeth. There's still not one that he won't see, 'cause Doug loves movies.
Hey, 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 everybody. My name is Doug, and I love movies. This is Doug Loves Movies. It's Sunday, April 23rd, 2023, and today's show is a virtual Club Dread reunion because, because we're doing this virtually, and my guests are Jay Chandrasekhar, Kevin Haverton, and Sam Levine. Hello, gentlemen.
Hello.
Hello.
Let's meet everybody individually and alphabetically. I'd say by first name, but I think you the three of you line up no matter which way we do it in the same order. He's the co-writer and co-star of Quasi, now on Hulu. He's Jay Chandrasekhar. Hello, dude.
Hey, Doug. How are you, pal?
I'm good, man. Excited. Oh, that's good. I'm excited for your movie that just started on Hulu a couple of days ago.
You know, we're pretty excited too. I mean, it's a real wild thing to have a movie just get plugged right into the houses of the stoners who follow us.
Oh yeah, it came out on 420, which is always a sign for it, that it's going to be a good time. And
I think so.
Yeah. Well, let's say hello to the director and also co-writer and co-star of Quasi on Hulu now. It's Kevin Heffernan. Hey, Kevin.
Hello. How are you?
It's good to have you back, or to hear you back.
Good to be back. I've been dying for you to show us a picture of yourself, Doug, but you know, I know we're keeping it mysterious here.
Oh, I'll turn my camera on
at some point.
I'll surprise everybody
for emphasis.
I'll shock everybody. But yeah, I like it. I like to do an old school radio style. Like we're all calling into a radio station interview. It's one big phoner.
Sure.
And what have you directed stuff before? Or is this your first Is this your directorial debut?
I directed a Broken Lizard movie many years ago called The Slam and Salmon. I work when Chandrasekhar is otherwise busy. So I directed a movie about 10 years ago for Broken Lizard. And then we've done about 50 episodes of my show Tacoma FD, and I've directed half of those. So I guess that's that counts, right?
Yeah, no, you're an old hand now at directing.
Yeah, quite an expert.
Well, tell us, a little bit about the movie. Quasi's short for, it's a reference to Quasimodo, right?
Yeah, this is our this is the Broken Lizard spin on the Quasimodo story, and it has nothing to do with the original Quasimodo story, except for a hunchback character at the center of it.
Okay.
But it is actually, it's set in medieval France. It's set in the 13th century in France, and we made this movie about this kind of lovable loser who finds himself in this conflict between the Pope and the King, the two most powerful guys in his world. And then at the same time, he's falling in love with the Queen. So it's kind of a skewed Braveheart love story.
Yeah, it sounds like a real love triangle of sadness.
there it is.
And how did you guys land on Steve being Quasi, like, because he's not naturally ugly and slumped over?
You know, he's not on the on this show, Doug. You don't have to compliment him. Steve worked at we wrote this script way back when. Like, when we were writing Super Troopers, we were simultaneously writing Quasi. And this is back when Steve was working in a record store in Manhattan called HMV. And there was a guy in the jazz and blues department who spoke out of the side of his mouth. And Steve would come back to us and imitate the guy. And the guy would basically say, "Steve, the saxophone is the loneliest instrument. I sit in my windowsill and play it on a hot, sweaty summer day for a woman who will never come." And he would do that imitation. And we would laugh and riff and riff and laugh. And we kept doing it. And eventually we thought, let's put that guy in a movie. And then let's make him a hunchback and a virgin. And let's set him in 12th century France. So we need a king and a pope. And there we go.
And then you're off. And how did you fight over who gets to be king and who gets to be pope?
Yeah, we have big arm wrestling thing session.
Do some Rochambeau to decide.
Yeah, a little rock, paper, scissors. No, you know, it's fun because when we write our movies, we try to avoid those fights as long as we can. So everyone just kind of writes and then we cast very late in the game. And I don't know, by the time we got to the end, it just kind of felt like, you know, Paul Soder really wanted to be the Pope, and Jay really fit the King, and Lemmy was, you know, going to be Quasi no matter what. So it all kind of fell into place. No fights, no brawls over it.
And I was, you know, I'm not a terribly observant religious person, but I was technically born a Hindu, and I thought maybe I shouldn't play the Pope.
Oh, but King is okay.
Yeah, well, people are already mad. They think we're woke because we have an Indian king in France. You know, people are criticizing us already for it. It's actually, no, there's just five Broken Lizard guys. So everybody's got to play something, right?
Someone's got to play something.
Yeah, yep. Like they've never seen a Broken Lizard movie before.
Exactly. Yeah.
They've all been pretty woke on that score.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's say hello to our third guest today. Who, of course, co-starred with these other dudes in their film Club Dread.
Yes.
And he's a returning champ to the show. It's Sam the Mam Levine. Hey, Sam.
Hey, dude. That was like the Raising Arizona of intros before you got to me. There was covered so much before where the opening titles could finish.
Yeah, I'm so happy to be here. You know, you got to give the people a chance to talk about why they're here. I knew you didn't have anything to plug other than that you're available on Cameo.
That's true. But also, so. I watched Quasi yesterday.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, good. So we can keep the conversation going.
Yes. I wanted to jump in, but I know you don't like it if I jump in before my intro.
Okay. We're all friends here.
Well, I just wanted to say, casting Paul as the Pope was brilliant.
He's fantastic. He does a fantastic job as the Pope.
Fantastic as the Pope. So that's it. That's all I have to add. Okay, I'm going to take off, guys.
Thank you, Sam.
Yep.
I was in a dumb hotel room since Wednesday doesn't have, you know, you don't have access to Hulu, and I'm not going to watch the movie on my phone. So that's going to be a treat for me this evening.
Yeah, watch it properly, Doug. Got to watch it properly.
Yeah, Yeah, I mean, you know, TV still, I really liked, you know, I like the motion picture experience, but you know, now that we got these big screen TVs and you can sit close to them.
I think he meant Stone, Doug.
Oh.
Say what? Well, that's,
you don't have to worry. You don't have to worry about that. That's, I watch everything stoned. I watch Schindler's List stoned.
Kevin and I also went to Schindler's List stoned.
I mean, you got to get through it somehow, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. It made it better. I mean, it was a great movie made better.
It actually has a couple of like light moments, if I recall correctly. I mean, not not a lot, just a couple. But there's a couple little jokes in there, I think.
Yeah, Ray Fiennes, there's a tight 10 right in the middle of the movie.
He tries out his road material mm-hmm. for some of the workers.
Speaking of Tacoma FD, when is more of that on the horizon?
Yes, sir. We shot 13 new episodes. We just finished editing about 2-3 weeks ago, and it's going to air this summer. They have not given us a date because the company that we're involved with is turned upside down by mergers, but, we're in the can. It's finished. The season's great. And they're all going to drop this summer, I'm being told. I don't have a date yet.
I wish I did. Well, did I spy with my little eye, or there's like a few people from Tacoma FD that are in Quasi?
Yeah, we got them all in there. I mean, the Eugene. Funny thing was we shot this movie between seasons 3 and 4. We had like a little 6-week window, which was one of the reasons we were able to get the movie done quickly. And so basically we just took the Tacoma crew and the cast and we moved them over to this movie and we got all the guys in there for little cameo parts.
So, that's great.
And they're all very funny in it.
It's like a Castaway, What Lies Beneath tie-in.
Yeah.
Exactly. You guys remember that? That when the Zemeckis was doing Castaway, they had to take a year off so that Tom Hanks could lose all that weight and grow the beard and the hair.
Right.
And Zemeckis loved his crew so much that in that time, the entire same crew shot What Lies Beneath with Harrison Ford, Michelle Pfeiffer.
Right.
And then when they finished, they went right back to the second half of Castaway. So it's exactly like that. It's exactly like that. Now you're going to do Quasi 2.
Yeah.
Between the next season of Tacoma.
Boom. Yeah, I think we can do that.
Terrific.
That's how I'd like to watch Castaway and What Lies Beneath with the one, so I feel like a year has gone by.
That's right. You just pause it in the middle.
I mean, that What Lies Beneath is I saw a little bit of it on cable a while back, and it is, that movie's insane. Like, it
yes,
is just,
it is.
It's like, it's every other moment in that movie is a jump scare. It's so weird.
Yep.
All right. So let's get to the part where we talk about movies in general. I do a segment now on the show every week called Recommendation Nation, where I ask each one of my guests to recommend a movie that fits under a particular topic or category. And in the case of today, what I'd like each of you to do, because now Sam's seen Quasi, so he's well-equipped to do this.
Uh-oh.
I'd like each of you to recommend a movie that you think pairs well with Quasi.
Ooh.
For whatever reason you have. Let's start with Jay. What do you think, Jay? What movie would make a great double feature with Quasi?
Well, I would say The Three Musketeers.
Oh, yeah. Richard Lester.
Yeah.
The kind of lighthearted Three Musketeers, lots of action, but also just fun.
Yeah. And it's sort of, you know, it's set in ancient Europe and there's some historical elements to it. And, you know, there's a little bit of violence and some excitement. So yeah, it's a similar kind of era.
Yeah, and they all wear the same wigs that you wear in this movie.
That's correct.
That's a good one. And what about, did you like the follow-up, the Four Musketeers? Was that as good for you?
Man in the Iron Mask.
Yeah, I'm generally reluctant to see sequels, and I know that's wrong because I occasionally make them, but I'm generally like, I don't see it. Like, I've never seen Fletch, the second Fletch with Chevy. I've never seen the second Caddyshack. If there was another Blues Brothers, I definitely didn't see that. I just
there was, like, there was. Yes.
Well, that one I saw that, and I was right, not to see it. So, I just like the originals. That said, see Super Troopers 3 when we make it next year, folks.
All right, Kevin, what do you think? What's a good double feature with Quasi?
I'm gonna go Braveheart. Because basically we ripped off a shitload from Braveheart for this movie. Jay's character in one, for one. We were huge fans of the king in Braveheart. I believe it's Patrick McGoohan.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, was McGoohan. The guy's name.
McGoohan, he was the prisoner.
Yeah, I'd call him McGoohan.
Okay.
We always loved that guy. We watched that movie, and here's the thing that people can do when they watch Braveheart. Watch that guy. He never blinks in the whole movie. Ooh. If you watch him, he never blinks. And that's what we loved about the guy. So Jay never blinks in Quasi on purpose. And then we stole also the queen who falls in love with a dirty commoner. We stole that little element too from Braveheart. And so I think, you know, people can see what we're paying homage to.
Right, and also Braveheart, if you watch it now, is probably got some stuff in there that's more unintentionally funny than they intended.
Yeah, and things you couldn't get away with now.
Yeah, it's kind of brutal.
Yeah, like Mel Gibson essentially makes fun of the prince through the whole movie, but we would never do that now.
No,
we would never do that.
How long can you go without blinking, Jay?
Well, Kevin's, you know, the truth is I attempted not to blink on the first day. And then I'm like, focusing so much on not blinking, it was a little bit hard to hit the right comedic rhythm. So if I'm not blinking in the movie, it's because Kevin edited out my blinks. Every time I blink, he probably cut away.
It's funny, like, I was in a restaurant many years after Braveheart came out, and I was sitting next to Patrick McGoohan. And he was with his wife and he was eating soup. And I was just watching him to see if he blinked when he ate his soup. And I don't think he blinked then either.
Wow.
He's a consummate professional. Or he was.
Or he just is really intense about soup.
He is very intense about soup and acting.
Yeah.
You got to keep your eye on soup. You can't, you blink and that's when the flies get in there.
Sure. Then you're done.
Sam.
Yep.
If you could have watched it on a double bill with another movie, Quasi, and what do you recommend?
Kill Bill Volume 1, then Quasi, and Kill Bill Volume 2.
Just because you like those movies, or is there some connection, Sam?
Well, the over-the-top violence.
Oh. Okay.
Gore.
Well, that maybe took it up a notch of extra notch of excitement about Quasi for me, because I didn't know it was going to be really violent.
Well, about
there's some comedy violence. There's some comic violence.
Comedic violence, yeah.
Yeah, the best kind.
Yeah.
Yeah, I laughed my ass off during John Wick 4.
Well, there's nothing funny about that violence.
I was going to bring that up as my double bill movie.
It's so Sam, though, it's funny because whenever there's a set piece in that movie, like when he's falling down the stairs or when he's getting hit by cars in that near the Arc de Triomphe, it's like it always goes on for several beats longer than you know, than necessary. And so I would just kind of like the vomiting and triangle of sadness. Oh. Like after 10 minutes of it, the last 7 minutes of it was a laugh riot to me because I just couldn't believe that it was still, that it was still going.
But that's the nature of the whole John Wick 4 movie. It's 3 hours long.
Yeah.
And everything goes on a little too long. But my thing was that the interesting thing is that those two set pieces that you mentioned are probably in the last 20 minutes of the movie. And I thought they were some of the best action set pieces I've ever seen. But I had action fatigue by then.
Oh. It's too much for some people. Yeah, it's too much. Yeah. It's definitely a lot. But, you know, I've been railing against movies that are too long because I think most of them are these days. Yeah. But for some reason, I was all in on the John Wick 4 being so long. But I think it helped that I didn't know it was that long before I saw it. So
good thing you didn't read Leonard's review.
Oh, my God. Suffers from overlength.
That's everything.
I mean, why would Leonard even watch John Wick 4? Like, it just doesn't seem like it's made for him.
I doubt he watched it.
He knows what's going to happen, right?
Oh, okay. You were just joking. I see.
Yes, I was.
Because now he just sort of reviews the movies that he would want to see, and then he still often finds them too long.
He does.
I think everybody should only review the movies they want to see. That would make for a more appropriate review.
Well, that's why, you know, the numbers tend to be a little more favorable on like on those opening day polls, because it's everybody who chose to see the thing on opening day. So there's like extra enthusiasm level there that, you know, helps a lot. Well, these are great recommendations, you guys, and I will put them into my Twitter feed and see how people react, and we're going to play some games after this break. We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Philo. Do you love TV? Do you love saving money? Then Philo is your solution. Philo has shows, movies, and live TV for just $25 a month. You can even try it for free with their 7-day free trial. No contracts, no commitments, no hassles, just a better way to watch TV. Never miss a minute of shows like the hit docuseries Where is Wendy Williams? Or classics such as Friends. If you can't get enough TV, then there's no better way to watch. Philo has more than 70 channels like BET, MTV, and AMC. And the best part? You can try it yourself with their 7-day free trial. Sign up today at philo.tv/poppods. That's philo.tv/poppods to get 50% off your first month.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
We are back. And the first game I would like to play today is something that I call Which Chris Is Dis?
Which Chris Is Dis? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which Chris Is Dis? And I name a movie, and then you have to tell me if it's got Chris Evans, Chris Pratt, or Chris Hemsworth in it.
What about Pine? What about Pine?
What about Pine? Yeah.
What about Pine? What have we got all day?
He's a Chris, too. He's in the same food group.
He really is. He really is. Should have been in there, but he didn't make the cut today.
If we say Pine, we will definitely be wrong.
Okay, that's good to know.
Yeah, you know the wrong answer already. It's not ever going to be Pine. But we'll start with Jay. I'll name a movie. You tell me which one of those guys you think was in it. And then if you get it wrong, then Kevin will get to guess between the remaining two. And if Kevin misses, then Sam gets
I'm gonna
a gimme.
Guess Chris Pine.
He's going to get a gimme point if he doesn't blow it by saying Chris Pine. And then.
Let me repeat this. So it's Chris Evans, Chris Hemsworth, and Chris Cuomo, right? Chris Cuomo. No, really? I forgot the third one.
No, it's Chris Evans, Chris Pratt, and Christie Brinkley.
Okay.
Okay, Chris got it. Now I'm good.
Chris Cuomo was great in John Wick 4.
I hope he was one of those people that got hit by a car. Chris Hemsworth is your third one there, Jay.
Got it.
And every time somebody gets one right, then we start with the next guy for the next one, and we'll see how y'all do.
Okay.
So, Jay, you get this first one, and part of the trick to this game is all three of these dudes have been in some movies I know I've never heard of. So we'll see. We'll see how deep your expertise goes. And you can also just take a wild guess. So Evans, Pratt, or Hemsworth, Jay, who do you think was in a movie called The Extreme Team in 2003?
Hemsworth. That sounds like an Australian film.
That's your guess, Hemsworth?
That's right. And it's a little bit wild, but I'm going with it.
You're going for it. And unfortunately, that is incorrect. It's not Hemsworth. Kevin, of the remaining gentlemen, Evans or Pratt, who do you think is in a movie called The Extreme Team?
I'm gonna say Pratt.
That is correct. Chris Pratt was in something called The Extreme Team. I don't even know if he was a member of the team.
Because I feel like in 2003, Evans was kind of a star, right?
Didn't he? No. That's pre Parks and Rec.
Is it?
Oh yeah, 2003.
No. I'm talking about Evans was a star. That's why.
Dude. Yeah. I don't know. By 2003, he hadn't been in any Marvel movies. He'd done the Fantastic Four, maybe the first.
Right. I thought that was around that time, maybe. Although maybe we've just screwed Doug on one of his.
Oh yeah, sorry.
Maybe. Sam likes to help his opponents with his commentary as the game.
I like
goes
it.
On.
I love it. It's informational and educational.
Mm-hmm. All right. So, what just happened? Oh, you got it. All right, you got
I
it.
I got
right.
A point,
so Sam.
I think, or
yeah,
however many
Sam,
points I get.
You got one. Sam's up next.
Oh boy.
Sam, have you ever heard of a movie called Walk the Talk?
Walk the Talk?
Mm-hmm. I mean, I hope I didn't write it down wrong. Maybe it's called Talk the Walk.
So here's the truth. I have heard of the movie, and I'm going to tell you why. It's because my friend Carrie Elwes is in the movie, but I have never seen the film. So I do not know who else is in the film.
You couldn't name one other person in
I
it?
I could not name one other person other than Carrie.
That's
so,
perfect.
Come on, Sam.
I will
like
guess.
It's wild guess time.
That is definitely wild guess time. I will wildly guess Chris Hemsworth.
Hang on. Let me get the right sound effect.
Okay. There we
incorrect.
Go.
Right. Oh. Incorrect.
Wow. I'm yeah. so angry.
All right, Jay, you got Evans or Pratt. Walk the
what
talk.
Year was it? What year was
2007.
It?
2007.
Well, you didn't give me a year.
I meant to, Sam. Well, let's jump in the DeLorean and go back.
Okay. It's okay. I still wouldn't have known.
I think at that time, I think Evans was a better walker, so I'm going to go with Chris Evans. Oh boy.
Kevin.
So that Kevin. Means unless I said something like Chris Pine, I know that.
Say Chris Pine.
Chris
do it.
Pratt. I'm sticking with Chris Pratt. He's my horse. I'm going to ride that horse.
Yep. Chris Pratt walks the talk.
I'm going to retire now, guys.
Wow.
Yeah. That was sweet.
I'm going to
boy,
blind.
Chris Pratt.
Wow. Wow.
Back to Sam.
Oh boy.
The motion picture is a film from 2004
thank
called
you.
Wanted.
Oh, well, 2004 Wanted. Okay, because I know there's one later with Angelina Jolie.
Oh, I think this is the Angelina Jolie, isn't
oh.
it? 2004 was that's not right.
No, that's like 2008 or 2009, I think.
Oh, okay, so this is just some other movie called Wanted.
Ah. Well, in that case, let me think. Is it Chris Pratt?
You want to stick with that?
Yeah, I don't remember Evans or Hemsworth in it. So yes, I'm going to say Chris Pratt.
That is correct.
Ah, all right.
Yeah, he plays a character named Barry.
Oh,
That's all I know about his role in that film.
Gotcha.
I'm going to ESP called Chris Pratt for the next one.
All right. So, Jay, you're officially in with a pre-guess of
ESP
Pratt.
Call. ESP call.
All right. Let me tell you the title just to give you a chance to change your mind. The film from 2009, Bride Wars.
Bride Wars.
I met Chris Hemsworth.
I thought that's what happened. I thought you meant that. So that's why I wanted to give you the chance to be wrong.
Oh my God.
Kevin.
I gotta go Chris Evans.
Sam Levine gets the gimme
for it. It's Chris it Pratt. Chris Pratt. Yes. Jay, you had it with your pre-guess.
I had it. Oh my God.
You nailed it.
It's all Pratt so far.
Yeah. He plays the guy. He's marrying Anne Hathaway in it. And then by the end of the movie, she's like, nope.
Yeah. Can I be honest? Yeah. You could have added Chris Pine as one of the options. It wouldn't have changed the game.
Was that still fat Chris Pratt? Was that still fat Pratt? Yeah. Or is it fat Pratt or muscular Pratt?
That was like pretty fat Pratt.
Fat Pratt? Yeah, that's pre-Moneyball Pratt.
Okay, because Moneyball Pratt is when Pratt started getting less fat.
It's when he started getting less fat, and then Guardians,
he got ripped.
Ripped, yeah.
Yeah, now I think he splits the difference.
Okay. The other two guys were always ripped.
I don't think he gets as ripped anymore, you know?
Yeah.
No, he doesn't have to. Star-Lord doesn't do that much physically. It's more about, you know, that he's good at driving the ship or whatever.
Yeah, but also they took his shirt off in the first one, right? They hose him down and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He showed his abs. Yeah. You're like, holy shit, the guy's got abs. What are those abs? Yeah,
that was some good stuff.
Yeah.
All right, so Kevin has two and Sam has two. And Jay, this is your chance to get on the board.
Oh, boy.
The film from 2009 is Jennifer's Body. Yeah, I was surprised that one of these dudes was in that because I saw that movie. And I remember
that movie.
I don't remember any of them being in it.
No.
Chris Hemsworth.
Damn it, Jay.
Jesus. Wow.
Kevin?
I'm telling you, because I know that Evans was a bigger star than I would have remembered. I got to go Pratt again. Pratt.
That is correct.
Yeah. Keep going, Pratt, guys.
You really could have added points.
We are way out on a Pratt ledge here, and I just can't be the one. I can't choose him. I just can't do it.
That had to be Fat Pratt, too.
Same year, 09.
Yeah.
Still,
dumpy, lumpy Pratt.
Lumpy Pratt. That's what he preferred.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I only say that, guys, because I'm a heavier fella. I only say that because of that.
No.
I can get away with it.
Right. That's why Jay is always making fun of the tall folks. He's always like, hey, what's going on up there?
That's right.
And Sam goes after the shorties.
How dare you?
All right. Sam, this is your turn again, right?
Okay. It is. Here we go.
This one you might actually remember who's in it. This is a movie starring people that, you know, are pretty well known.
Okay.
It's called, from 2007, The Nanny Diaries.
That one I definitely know because I love my boy. And he's quite... Wait a minute.
Whoa, what's happening?
I'm making sure I'm not confusing The Nanny Diaries with a different movie.
Oh, The Diary Nanny?
Because I'm thinking it was Chris Evans because it's him and ScarJo and they'd worked together already at least once. Because I know they worked together a bunch, but now I'm trying to make sure I'm not confusing my rom-coms. And like...
The Manny Diaries.
Because it's 2007, so it's entirely possible like Chris Pratt, like an unknown Chris Pratt was like a doorman or something. But I don't think so, because what other movie would he be in with ScarJo? So I'm going to say, I'm going to go with my gut. I'm going to say Chris Evans.
It is Chris Evans.
All right.
Nailed it.
Thank you.
Good job.
He's credited, so I don't believe it's a big role. He's credited as Harvard Hottie.
Yeah, because he lives in the building that she's the nanny in.
But now, isn't that after Fantastic Four?
Oh, definitely. That's at that point. But
wouldn't
he
have been a bigger star then?
No, because those movies weren't terribly successful. The first one did okay, and then they did the second one.
Well, he was Johnny Storm. Come on.
I mean, but
he's got a real weird little roller coaster in his early career of like jogging between hits and things that didn't work out. And like, you know, it really didn't start to click in until, you know, Avengers.
But if I'm if I'm his agent, I'm like, hey, Harvard hottie, come on. You know, at least get a name for your character.
I think The Nanny Diaries is based on a book, and I believe that's the character's name, but I could be wrong.
Okay. Right. And also, it was just a prestigious project because it was the couple that directed American Splendor, which any actor really loved because it had really good acting in it. So, like, he probably just wanted to work, you know, was excited to work with them or whatever.
Okay.
Probably fit into his schedule. I can make all sorts of excuses for 2007.
Get him on the horn. Let's talk to him about this. Come on.
Okay, so we've got a tie here. So, Jay, you're going to have to sit this next one out because we have to break this tie.
I think that's best.
Yeah. And so Kevin gets in order. Kevin's first up. So, Kevin, if you get this one, you win. If you don't, then Sam can steal. And, this is fun. If neither Kevin or Sam get it, if you both miss, I'm going to declare Jay the winner.
Okay.
I love it.
You know what? That seems reasonable.
Right?
Yeah.
It's only fair. Kevin.
Yes.
Star Trek from 2008 starring Chris Pine.
Yeah, that's Hemsworth. I know that's Hemsworth because he plays the doesn't he play the guy before Captain Kirk? Who is the guy?
the guy before
he plays the Pike, right? Is it Pike?
He's supposed to be his dad, right?
Oh, I don't know. Is he? Yeah, oh yeah, maybe you're right.
He's George Kirk.
Okay, yeah, yeah, I knew
there's
that
a scene. There's Hemsworth. A scene with him and a lady sitting around trying to decide a name on James Kirk, and they and he suggests Tiberius, and she looks at him like middle name.
Well, they're not sitting around. He's moments away from death.
Oh yeah,
he's on the bridge. I remember being on the bridge.
Yeah,
that's when my man crush. That's when my man crush started on Chris Hemsworth. Just when I saw him in Star Trek.
That's like,
Who is this guy?
That's a wonderful coincidence. I was ready for Chris Pine to show up and then he did.
Yeah.
Because his first scene is driving a car fast to the Beastie Boys Sabotage.
That's right.
Is what you look for in a Star Trek movie is fast cars and cool songs.
Yep. Exactly.
So Kevin, congratulations. You won that game.
We'll tell you
what you won after this break. We'll be right back.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We are back, and since Kevin remembered that early in his career, Hemsworth played Captain Kirk Sr., he was able to secure the win there. I hadn't remembered that, so that's why I made that the last one, because I thought somebody might remember. Did you remember, Jay, that he played that part?
I did.
Yeah?
Yeah, I did. I'll go with that.
Okay. So all that Kevin wins, people who listen to the show know that he only won the opportunity to go first in our second game.
Yep. Okay.
Yeah, you get to go first in our second and final game today, but it's not a short one by any means. It's not going to be easy for any of you to take this down, but we will begin with Kevin, and then we'll go to Jay, and then to Sam. Switch that order around.
And we're not doing the Chris game anymore, right? Is this a new game?
This is going to be a new game.
Oh, boy. Okay.
And it's something that I call, whose tagline is it anyway?
Oh, okay.
Oh, boy.
I'll say Sam's favorite game. I'll say a tagline from a motion picture, and In turn, you each get a guess. If anybody gets it right, you get a point. These are, you know, taglines from movies throughout the history of cinema, so this is not easy.
Okay.
A lot of bad taglines out there. Do you guys know offhand the tagline for Quasi?
Every day is hump day.
Yeah. See, that's an example of a good one. Because it's actually funny and tells you something about what you're about to watch.
There you go. There you go.
That it's going to have a lot of humping in it. Okay. So Kevin will be up first. And oh, here's the other thing. Here's why going first isn't an advantage, is because after you've heard one or two of these, you might notice a theme emerging that'll make easier to guess which movie it is. But you still may figure it out just based on the tagline, because some are more descriptive than others.
So I don't get a point for the Quasi one?
No, because that's a motion picture you directed.
Ah, okay, got it.
But although it is funny, I could fool directors on what their taglines are day and night. Like, a lot of them don't know. Because you're not necessarily involved in that part of the process every time, right?
No, we aren't. But for this one, we were, because there was a fight between marketing and creative, because marketing loved that. And the Disney, well, essentially, we made a Disney movie, Quasi, and they were upset. They didn't want us to be unsensitive to hunchbacks. They thought it was insensitive.
Right. Well, it's also insensitive to Wednesdays.
Exactly. No, and humping.
It's true. But there was a historical character named Quasimodo, and that's why we got away with it.
There was, but Disney has a significant IP in that character, which they didn't want us to mess with either.
I see. All right. Well, here we go, Kevin.
Okay.
Here's the first one. Fiery temptress and inhuman beast. The strangest pair in all the annals of horror.
Fiery temptress.
Mm-hmm.
An inhuman beast.
Yeah.
Okay.
Strange pair. Strangest in the annals of horror.
Mr. and Mrs.
It's right
Smith.
There.
Mr.
It's
and
right
Mrs.
there
Smith.
In the annals. Is that really your guess?
That'll be my guess, because I don't know. That's a funny guess, though, isn't it, Mr. and Mrs.
It
Smith?
Was fun, yeah. That's why I thought you might just have been kidding around. That's what Jay will do, is he'll say his answer was just, he was just kidding when he's wrong.
You ready for it?
Yeah.
Because Kevin's definitely wrong. I didn't hear any buzz, but I'm guessing.
I'm wrong, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
I'm going to say, we go to Jay. The Ghostbusters.
Oh, okay.
Doug, I'm not good at these games. Thank you. It's more satisfying when you hear that.
Sam?
That's definitely Super Troopers 2.
Oh, that's another thing I just remembered, is that you, who's the narrator of Quasi?
Oh, Brian Cox.
Mr. Brian Cox.
Yes, Mr. Brian Cox. He's alive again.
We were very lucky to get him. His schedule freed up a little bit. No, we got him between recording McDonald's and Virgin Atlantic, and he recorded our narration.
Didn't even have to leave the booth.
Night. He did, and I'm not lying. I'm not lying.
That's awesome.
He said, "I'm going to be in the booth in Brooklyn on X day if you want me to do it." Okay.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
When reading the lines for your movie, did they ever throw in a ba da ba ba ba?
I did. I did to make him feel comfortable.
All right, Sam, that is incorrect.
Oh, well. All
right. Oh, no, my noisemaker broke. Oh, there it is. Okay. So, none of you got that one right, which, you know, like I said, the first one's always trickier because, you know, you don't know what the theme could potentially be. But that is from a motion picture from 1956 called The Hunchback of Notre Dame.
No.
Okay.
That makes sense.
With Gina Lola Brigida as Esmeralda and Anthony Quinn as Quasimodo.
But so don't you think that Angelina Jolie is a fiery temptress?
She is, yes.
Sigourney Weaver is also a fiery temptress.
True.
And Brad Pitt is an inhuman beast.
another man crush of mine, Brad Pitt.
All right, let's get somebody on the board here. Let's start again with Kevin on this next one.
Okay.
So far we have Hunchback of Notre Dame was the first answer. So what movie do you think had the arguably terrible tagline? because sometimes they work the date the movie's coming out into the tagline, and then like that becomes irrelevant so quickly. Like as soon as the movie comes out, all the posters look stupid. So they said about this movie, Join the Party, June 21st.
Okay, that's the first day of summer.
Right.
Correct. Summer school.
Great guess. Not the right answer.
That's a great guess, though. Come on.
Totally great guess. Yeah. Summer movie.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I think they made that one come out in August, though, to be honest. Jay, what do you think it is?
Join the Party, June 21st.
Mm-hmm. Exclamation point.
Here's what I think happened. I think the movie is called Juneteenth. It didn't land on a Friday, and they said, screw it, let's go with it.
Is that a join the party kind of a thing, though? Juneteenth?
Join the party of freedom?
Okay, there you go.
Oh, man.
Damn.
I'm going to go out on a limb here.
Okay.
And I'm going to say The Hunchback of Notre Dame, the animated one from the mid-90s.
You figured it out. You figured it out, you son of a gun.
Yeah.
Sam Levine's smarter than us.
No, I've just been on a lot of these podcasts with Doug.
The animated Hunchback with Demi Moore as Esmeralda and Tom Hulce was Quasi in that one.
Okay. That's the one we were not allowed to touch or make fun of.
Right, because it did the whole Disney thing, yeah.
We had to change the color of the wardrobe of our Hunchback because they thought it was too close to the color of the wardrobe of that Hunchback.
And also, I don't care how silly a face Steve's makes, that Hunchback in their movie is an ugly dude.
Right.
So when he walks around the parades at Disneyland, it's like, kids are like, is that a good guy or a bad guy?
Terrified.
How am I supposed to react to this guy? All right. So Sam's on the board with 1 point, but everybody's still got plenty of opportunities to get in on this.
Okay.
So far we have The Hunchback of Notre Dame and The Hunchback of Notre Dame. So, Kevin, what movie do you think would fit that the theme that's established here with the tagline? Some call him bad. They call him dad.
Whew. Some call him bad. I'm thinking it's probably got to have a some sort of Hunchback theme to it. Say it again. Some call him bad. They call him dad.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm going to say Son of the Hunchback of Notre Dame.
That's not it.
What?
Wait a minute. That's the wrong noise.
That's it? No. Okay. That's not it.
No, that's incorrect.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. Jay?
Father of the Bride?
Oh, Father of the Bride. No.
Okay.
Do you want the whistle or the
give me the damn buzzer. Thank you.
Sam, have you figured this out?
I have absolutely not. It's not like I've seen every Hunchback movie, but I don't remember anywhere he's a dad. maybe you went for a Hunchback of a different type. He's Ghost Dad.
Right. That's that movie just popped into my head too. Ghost Dad.
Okay. Some do call him bad, by the way. and others call him dad. It is accurate.
Yeah. No, you're right about that.
I think Abbott Costello made Son of the Hunchback. So I
oh,
think
no.
Right.
Could
no?
Be
it? Anything?
I don't know.
I don't think so. I don't even think they ever, I don't think those guys ever even met. I don't think they did a Meet the Hunchback.
Meet the Hunchback or anything? Okay.
I don't think so. They were meeting everybody. They met Billy the Kid. And
sure, Frankenstein.
Keystone Cops. Wow. But this is a motion picture from 2010 where the main character that they call Dad has a hunchback and a Russian accent. It's Despicable Me.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. That's gettable. Right. That was gettable, sure. Guys. That was very gettable, I think.
I'm still disappointed that the sequel to Despicable Me wasn't just called Despicable Me Too, like with a hashtag in front of the Me Too.
Sure.
You know, they could have made a real statement with that.
Yeah.
They could have been ahead of the curve. Mm-hmm. All right. So Sam's still numero uno, but that means that Kevin gets to go first on this next one.
Okay.
Now this one, I think, could qualify as a somewhat famous tagline. So somebody might just know this one just off the top of their head. Kevin, it's a different set of Jaws.
A different set of Jaws. Okay. Huh. Okay, I'm thinking about the shark movie. I'm thinking about Jaws from the James Bond movies.
Oh.
He's kind of a hunchy. No, he's not a hunchback. He's just a big guy. A different set of Jaws. I don't know. Jaws 3 3D. Jaws and 3 Jaws 3 and 3D.
I'll give you three of those. Jay, what
Jaws
do you think?
Jaws 3 wasn't 3D, guys, just so you know. It wasn't 3D.
Moonraker.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, you're not right.
No.
It's not Moonraker, but Kevin was right that Jaws 3 was in 3D.
Yeah.
Sam, have you figured it out?
You know, in the 90s, my brother every week went to a midnight showing of this movie, and I went a couple times with him. That's the Rocky Horror Picture Show, guys.
That is
really
correct.
Yeah.
Wow. Yep. And was that really that was the tagline?
That's why it's one of them. It's on one of the posters.
Okay.
Yeah, they had several posters, and the one was the famous lips from the opening credits, and it just says a different set of Jaws.
Okay.
You know, because it came out pretty soon after the Jaws, first Jaws.
Right. Mm-hmm. I get it. And the lips. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, they had a few clever posters that played off of other movies.
Okay.
All right. So, Sam.
Boy, I'm not doing
really,
a very good job. I'm not doing
Sam's
a good job.
Sam's really killing this thing.
Really
I don't
is.
Think anybody else has a chance, but it's still worth trying.
Okay. I'll try.
All right. So, it's back to Kevin. And this is the tagline: the scariest comedy of all time.
I'm going to say Young Frankenstein.
That is correct.
Yeah!
Wow.
I
know. I do not think of that movie as scary at all.
At all. Yeah.
But that's the joke, right? Isn't it?
I guess. But even, you know, it was even based off of, I don't think Frankenstein movies are scary, you know, like.
Yeah, true.
You know,
I was thinking isn't Marty Feldman a hunchback in it? Or
Igor.
Yeah, Igor.
Yeah, okay.
Is the hunchback in that one? So you've figured out what's happening here.
I get you. Okay.
But it's too little, too late, I'm afraid.
Oh shit. Okay.
Yeah, but Jay, let's get Jay on the board here.
Thanks, Doug.
All right, you ready?
Yeah.
Well, she craves a romance she can sink her claws into. He plots a foul reign of destruction.
Well, let's see. Well, he and foul reign of destruction. I'm going to say Interview with a Vampire.
I love that. I mean, it's a solid guess. It's not right.
No, you had to go to the computer to figure that out.
But, no, it's no. I just was. I got kind of lost in how much I love the AMC TV version of Interview with a Vampire.
Is it good?
It's really good. It's really violent. Okay. It's really violent, and it just kind of repairs all the damage done by Cruz and Pitt in that first one.
Okay. Well, first I like version. That movie. You didn't like that movie?
It's a good like movie. It's definitely a good movie, but this is like it just does it better, you know. It just does what it really needs to be, which is like, you know, like Brad Pitt and Tom Cruise were like, "Oh, let's sort of be gay in this," you know.
They're so beautiful in it though, both of them.
Yeah.
So beautiful.
But they don't commit to the being lovers part, you know.
Sure,
and
sure.
And this TV show goes all in on that.
Okay.
And it makes it interracial too at the same time.
Okay.
Yeah. Who's up?
Sam's Sam? Up.
Oh, I am?
Yeah.
Could you say the tagline one more time for me, Doug? I want to make sure I heard it right.
Yeah, while she craves a romance she could sink her claws into, he plots a foul reign of destruction.
Okay, I definitely know this one. It's The Baby Makers.
Ooh.
A lot of claw sinking in them.
Yeah. No, that's not it.
Oh, that's not it? Oh, yes. No. I really thought it was.
Yeah, okay. I put in that long pause so there'd be a lot of suspense about whether or not you were right.
Okay.
Kevin, do you know what it is?
I think I do.
Yeah?
The Santa Claus. Huh? Come on, guys. The Santa Claus 2.
That's your final answer?
Yeah, that's my answer.
Yeah.
It's pretty good, though. It's a pretty good answer.
Yeah. One thing I learned is that I thought there'd be dozens of hunchbacks in motion pictures over the history. And, you know, certainly they've made the hunchback story like five or six times. And then some other people have shown up with humpbacks in movies. But one that you might not think of off the top of your head, but he definitely had a fucked up back, is Danny DeVito in Batman Returns.
Ooh. Okay.
As Mr. Penguin.
Wow.
Okay.
Yeah.
Burt Reynolds had a fucked up back during the making of Dukes of Hazzard as well.
Well, that covers a lot of Burt Reynolds movies, I think.
That's true. That's true.
I was just watching the other day that movie Gator that he did with, you know, that's when he and Hal Needham were going crazy with the car stunts and stuff.
Yeah.
And there's I put it on my Instagram because there's a stunt where Burt Reynolds jumps into the back of a truck riding down the beach, and then it flips over and he jumps out. And Hal Needham was not only the second unit director, but also was his stunt double. And so he does the stunt jumping out, and they use the take where he straight up breaks his back.
Yeah.
It's brutal.
Yeah, it's incredible. It's incredible.
Those guys were crazy.
They were. I went as Burt Reynolds last night to a 70s party.
Oh, no.
Red shirt, right, cowboy hat, you know, mustache, the whole thing.
Chewing gum?
Sure.
Did you, when you found something amusing, did you do his high-pitched laugh? Well, congratulations, Sam Levine. You've done it again. You won today.
I had. Can I give you one? Can I give you one, Doug?
Yeah, another hunchback.
Well, you know, maybe this could fit into your theme.
You want to try a tagline on me?
I'm going to try a tagline on you. In our theme. This is in our theme. Mm-hmm. Okay, ready?
Mm-hmm.
This is one of my favorite taglines too. Mm-hmm. It's not the size of the dog in the fight; it's the size of the fight in the dog.
Oh, that is good. But I don't know. There's so many underdog stories that could be apply to, and then also movies with an actual dog. So I'm
think
gonna
of our this, theme though. Think of our I theme mean, though.
Oh right, okay. Oh, yeah. I don't know what this is. Do you know it, Sam?
It's Air Bud Golden Receiver.
Nope.
No. Okay. Mm-mm.
Jay, do you have a guess?
No, but I know this tagline well because Kevin mentions it every now and then. But I'm only ever half listening, so I can't remember the name of the movie.
What
you
is
guys
it?
Gonna kick yourself. You're gonna kick yourself.
Yeah.
It's Rudy. And he was at Notre Dame.
That okay. does fit the theme.
Do you see the fit? Oh. He's kind of the wow. hunchback of Notre Dame.
Yeah. He really
is. Smarter now, Sam.
The halfback of Notre Dame.
I'm embarrassed. I should have gotten it.
There you go. I'm just trying to contribute, guys. I'm just trying to contribute.
But that is it really encapsulates what that movie is, you know? It's just like it's a great tagline.
Mm-hmm. He's not a main character, but I think there's a hunchback character in Adam's Family.
Mm-hmm.
The one from the 90s.
Yeah, it's like Uncle Lumpy or something like that.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Uncle mm-hmm. Lumpy.
Okay. Yeah, there's somebody that's not Uncle Fester, but he's got a hunchback.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, congratulations to everybody because you all played great.
Thank
but
you.
Sam gets, do, Sam gets to do Sam gets to do his plugs first. So Sam, tell him what you got to tell him.
Definitely check out Quasi. I'm really proud of having watched it, and I think everyone else should. Well, I had nothing to do with the making of the film, but as one of the first people to watch it, I'd like to think I'm more of a tastemaker. So yes. I really want to put it out there that it's a really, really funny movie. And if you're not a smoker, be a drinker like me. I enjoyed it with a bottle and a half of wine. And it was a terrific evening. Terrifically well spent evening. Also, I am on Cameo, as Doug mentioned some time ago. Hey, Mother's Day is right around the corner. Do you have a mom who for some reason knows who I am? Great. Do you have a mom who for some reason does not know who I am? Much more likely.
Perfect.
And you screwed up getting her something good. I will gladly put together a several minute video for your mom explaining that you were all out of ideas. And this cameo from me, Sam Levine, is the best you could come up with. So happy Mother's Day and better luck next year. Come on. Whose mom wouldn't want that?
There you
go.
So
find me, Sam Levine. That's Sam with two M's on Cameo.
I enjoyed your D&D promo thing, though, Sam.
Oh, thanks very much, man.
That had to be very fun with Martin and...
yeah, Martin and John. That was super fun. I mean, I'm so glad that, you know, the three of us have all kept in touch over the years. And yeah, it was super fun to shoot. And yeah, I love the love that got online. And also, I guess sort of similarly to Quasi, Dungeons and Dragons was a really good movie, a hard source material to put that together. And John and Jonathan did, I think, a really, really great job. And I enjoyed
with
the hell
Chris
out of that
Pine.
Movie. That's
yes.
right.
Bada-bing,
no other Chris's. No other Chris's.
Speaking...
No
yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right. So, Jay, what do you got to, I mean, obviously, if you want to talk more about Quasi, that's cool. But if there's anything else you want to plug.
I think Kevin's going to plug Quasi. So I'm going to plug some stand updates. So,
okay.
Cobb's Comedy Club in San Francisco, May 11th, 12th, 13th.
Nice.
Louisville Comedy Club in Kentucky, June 1, 2, 3. Tacoma Comedy Club in Washington, June 15, 16, and 17. And this last one, Chicago, Thalia Hall, July 21st. I'm doing two shows and recording a special.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Neat. Nice. Thalia Hall in Chicago. That place is awesome.
Yeah, I'm excited. Very excited.
Yeah, that's going very home. Cool. What's the date of that again?
July 21st, two shows.
Nice. Well, very cool. Kevin?
I'll definitely plug Quasi again. it's on Hulu. Available now. You can get it in your living room and watch it with your friends. And it seems to be doing pretty well. Everyone seems to like it. So I'm going to plug that. And then I'll also plug Tacoma FD. Season 4. Everyone has been asking what we're doing, and we're trying to get the thing you know, back up and running there. So we shot a new season, and we got 13 episodes coming out this summer. Woo. Keep your eye out.
Have you guys, have you and Steve ever, you know, popped into that Tacoma Comedy Club?
We did. We did the first two, after the first two seasons, like once in the first season, once in the second season, it was a raucous thing packed with firefighters. And it's very dangerous because firefighters, a lot of people want to drink with you. Firefighters want to lift you up in the air. So after, when you're in the line at the end, the autograph line, I was constantly being lifted up in the air, and I'm not a little guy, and it was terrifying. But they're a very good audience, those firefighters. So.
All right. Well, hopefully they'll come out and lift Jay up as well.
Yeah, Jay, they'll lift you up.
I look forward to that.
I've got a few plugs. I've got shows coming up at Zany's in Rosemont, Illinois, on May 5th and 6th, and just want to remind everybody to check out Getting Doug with High, the Patreon version, and all of my dates and stuff are at DougLovesMovies.com. Now, I end every episode now with a last line from a movie. Do you fellas know offhand what the last line is in Quasi?
Yes, it's Brian Cox. I do. You want me to tell you what it is?
Yeah, what does he say? Or is it a big spoiler or anything?
It's not a spoiler, because what we did is, you know, like the end of Conan the Barbarian, they have, you know, James Earl Jones does a little narration on the way out. Mm-hmm. We had Coxie do that for us. And he's basically setting up the sequel. His line is, "But that's another story." Mm-hmm. So it's, you know, he talks about Quasi's reign as king. And then he says, "But that's another story." So that sets us up for the next movie.
But it sounds like you didn't even have to hire him. You could just do it.
Well, I did it. I did do it. And then the studio thought I sucked. So
they weren't the only one.
Yeah, everyone did. And so they made us go get Brian. So.
Well, he's just always great to get anyway. So
wonderful.
It's a win-win.
Wonderful man. Wonderful
yeah. man. The 1939 Hunchback of Notre Dame with Charles Laughton, that ended with the line, "Why was I not made of stone like thee?"
Ooh.
Oh, we should have done that. We should have done that.
No, I like yours. I like yours a lot. So thanks once again to Jay and Kevin and Sammy. And until next time, or as always... "But that's another story."
Now it's time for Doug to watch another talkie. Eyes of gold, his viewing prowess makes him cocky. There's no room in his heart for you, 'cause Doug.